maybe we'll sing that hymn we sang this morning. Arise, my soul, arise. Amen. Shake off thy guilty plea. Amen. Merciful God, we give you thanks, Lord, for this song we have been singing tonight, Lord. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that on Calvary, Lord, you bore wounds for us, and at the whipping post, Lord God, you accomplished our healing, Lord. Lord, we thank you that by the blood of Jesus Christ tonight we can stand set free to worship you, O Lord. Lord, I pray tonight that your name will be exalted and uplifted and glorified. Lord, we say tonight with the psalmist David, holy and reverent is your name. Oh, Lord God, we thank you that there's power in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, tonight, Lord, we come against every spirit that would try to take away from your word tonight. Lord, we come against every spirit of heaviness, Lord, every spirit of sickness or disease or anything that would be contrary to the word of God, we cast it down in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you tonight that the anointing will break the yoke in two. Lord God, break every heavy yoke, for your word says that your yoke is easy and your burden is light. Oh, Lord God, lighten our burdens, Lord, I pray tonight, Lord. Lift off the spirit of heaviness, that the spirit of the garments of praise might fall upon us in Jesus' name, that we will be able to uplift your name. Oh, Lord God, I thank you tonight, Lord, that you're a good God, and beside you there's no other. Lord, I pray tonight that you'll help me to step aside. Take over this service tonight for the glory of God. Lord, we thank you tonight that you're one of our number, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you're here, Lord, to heal, save, and deliver. Lord, we thank you that you're here to set the captives free, that you're here to deliver, Lord, tonight, in Jesus' name. Let there be a deliverance where there needs to be deliverance, in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for all those, Lord, tonight that are laid aside, Lord, that are decoyed or sick or set aside with the enemy, Lord. Lord, I pray that you'll touch them now, Lord, that you'll minister unto them, Lord. Let them hear your loving voice speak unto them. Let that awaken them. Whatever it may be, Lord God, touch and move in every situation. In Jesus' precious name, amen and amen. You may just take your seats tonight and we'll turn to God's word. I'll try to be not too long by God's grace. Tonight I want to try and talk about the greatness and the majesty of his name. Now I know Gary probably has more or less covered this pretty good. The sermon, I really enjoyed that. Gary talked about the name of Jesus Christ, so I maybe will say some things very similar, or I don't know what it'll be, but I just tonight want to take a bit of a minute or two and speak about the greatness of his name and the majesty of his name. The majesty of his name speaks of the royal power that he has. He's got royal authority. We talk about magistrates and majesties in the country, but people vote a man in. Or maybe they're born into a certain lineage that makes them royal. But I want you to know that this man, Jesus Christ, come from a royal lineage. A greater than any ever was. You know, I know the Bible says that he came off the offspring of David, but you know, he was even greater than that. He was no man on earth could compare to him, because the blood in him was God's own blood. He was God manifested in the flesh. He was God. When you've seen Jesus Christ, you've seen God. For he said unto his disciples, "He that has seen me has seen the Father." He said, why show us the Father, and suffice us, he that has seen me has seen the Father also. And tonight we'll just turn for a reading here. I've a whole lot of scriptures wrote down. And you know, if you take your time, you could maybe record them and read over them again. I'm just going to try and briefly go through them and just try and speak about his majesty. Speak about his greatness and exalt him tonight. So the first reading I have is in Isaiah chapter 9. And we know that the prophet Isaiah here prophesies of one to come. And he says in Isaiah chapter 9 and verses 6, and we'll read verses 6 and 7, and it says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God." What a title is that? The Mighty God. That speaks of his royal lineage. That speaks of his ability to do something for you. He is the Mighty God. He's not a God that's got his hands tied behind his back. He's not a God that doesn't do miracles anymore. He's not a God that can't save. He's not a God that can't deliver. He's not a God that can't set you free from whatever your affliction may be. But it says in my Bible here, the Mighty God. The Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, in order it and establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Amen. And we know that 800 years, I believe it was, later, that the word of God says that there was a virgin did conceive and she had a son and they called his name Jesus. Oh, there's power in that name.
Hallelujah.
If you feel like you're backed into the corner, mention the name of Jesus. Amen. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against him. There's power in the name of Jesus. they're sorry in that name because that name is great. You know, if you went somewhere and you knew someone that worked in somewhere or something, you might mention their name. Somebody might say, if you're phoning up about getting something, mention my name, they know me. You know, they talk about breaking the ice or making it easier. Well, Jesus Christ came and made it easy for me and you. He went to the cross. He cried in Gethsemane and said, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. But nevertheless, not my will, but let thy will be done. Amen. And he cried great drops of blood. He was under so much agony. He was under so much strain. Your sin, my sin, all your baggage that is rotten, all your filthy baggage, all your skeletons, as they talk about, hid in the cupboard or whatever it is, Jesus Christ took upon him all at Calvary. Didn't leave nothing out. Some people say, but there's no buts in it. It's accomplished. When Jesus Christ said, it is finished. You know, he didn't get out a notebook and say, it's finished, but. You know, I thank God when he cried out and said, it is finished. That old veil of the temple was rent in twain, it says, from the top to the bottom. No more works program.
Amen.
No more signing your name in a book. No more operation. People want to get out of a book. You'll get your loyalty points built up in your wee book. And they'll be able to check to see what you paid every week and every month. And then you can be ashamed at the end of the year. But the reason for that is because the rich man wants to spend money as long as he's glorified. The rich man wants to pay into charities as long as his name's on a billboard. Whatever his name may be, Joe Bloggs or whoever it may be, he'll have his name on a billboard. He paid so much, he's a great fella. But Jesus Christ said, there's not one good. When they said unto him, good master, he said, there's none good. Savior, heavenly Father, there's none good. But this man, his name is Majesty. His name is great. His name is wonderful. You know, if we turn on over now in our Bibles to Matthew. Matthew chapter 1. Verses 21 and 23. It's basically following on here from what the prophet said. You know, how could a man write something and 800 years later it could happen? How could you lift the Bible? All the skeptics in the world, it wouldn't matter. There's not an author in the world that could write a book as perfect as the Bible. There's not an author in the world, no matter how great a poet he was, no matter how great a philosopher he was, he couldn't write something. And 800 years after that man's gone, the thing that he wrote happens exactly as he wrote it.
Amen.
It happens exactly, not by chance, but perfectly and divinely.
Amen.
Even Jesus Christ's own crucifixion and the leading up to the cross, it matches perfectly the sacrificial lamb. He matched everything. He came into Jerusalem when they were selecting the sacrificial lamb. And then they took him and they examined him the same as the lamb had to be examined. He went through all the courts. He went through all the examination. He fitted every single thing. God was drawing out his great plan of salvation. God was showing the greatness and the majesty of his son. 1 Matthew chapter 1, verses 21, and we'll read down to verses 23. And it says, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. Now all these things were done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. Do you know, people question, is Jesus Christ really God? Do you know, there's people that'll argue, is Jesus Christ really God? Well, the Bible clearly says here, it says, they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. What more argument do you need? Does the Bible not say that he is God? But you know, he had to come in the form of a man. Like I said before, it says in Isaiah 53, he was a man of sorrow, unacquainted with grief. He could feel like being you feel. His friend died, and he felt the pain of it. He wept. Do you think he done that for the act? I believe he really felt it. Sorry in himself. He felt emotion. But you know, he also could feel emotion. But when he stepped forward and said, Lazarus, come forth. That was God speaking. Yes, he had emotion. Yes, he slept on the boat. He slept like a man. He was all man, but yet he was God. But when he stood up, he said to the winds and the waves to lie down and calm down. And they said that they were surprised at the very wind and the waves obeyed him. But it's not really much of a surprise, because we know that all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. All things were made by him. You know, God fulfilled his word. Behold, a virgin shall conceive. That exactly matches what the prophet Isaiah said, inspired by God. You know, there's lots of men inspired by themselves. If you got all inspired by yourself and said something, it probably never happened. It might happen. You might guess a thing. You might get away with guessing now and again. You might get away with a guess and hope that it'll fall into place. But when God speaks, there's no guessing involved. It's not guesswork. And God demonstrated this even in the 20th century when he sent a prophet to bring us back to worshiping this true original gospel, to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. But we know that today men want to exalt men. We know that on the Mount of Transfiguration, when the apostles were there, you know, on the scene, Jesus Christ was caught up and he was transformed. It says, let us build here 3 temples. Do you know, man always wants, let's get something built. Why would you worry about building anything? Here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. Abraham went out looking to seek a city. He said he went to search for a place whose builder and maker was God. That's the city. That's the dwelling place. Do you know, someday your body will lie down in the grave if God doesn't come. But when God comes, all those bodies that we have went and stood at a graveside, they're going to get out of them graves. There's going to be a wake up and get up. Amen. Grave, get out of my way. Amen. It's going to be a goodbye. It was a nice try, but death can never make me stay.
Amen.
Save all your farewells and all your sad bales and sad meal also, because I'm heading to the land of the free.
Amen.
Amen. Brother, you ain't seen the last of me. Well, that's a wonderful song, and it's true. You know, when you go up to that old grave, it's cold, it's miserable. It's a miserable place to be. But you know, our loved ones aren't there. We laid that body there, but they're not there. Thank God. God has translated them. They stepped out of this old pest house and they stepped into the glorified body. They're no longer suffering. There's no more pain. There's no more sickness, for it says that God will wipe away every tear from their eye. No more sorrow, no more pain, no more death in that great city, because God is the builder and maker of it.
Amen.
And anything that God does is perfect. He doesn't do it by half. He doesn't make a mess of it. He does it 100%. Amen. You know, also Psalmist David 111 and verses 9, it says, holy and reverent is his name. The psalmist knew that his name was royal, that his name was great. But you know, people today want to use his name as a swear word or a curse word. People that claim to be Christians sometime, they'll use the name of Jesus as a swear word or a curse word. I'd say, not digging anybody, but some of the worst people is Catholics, I must say. They love to take the Lord's name in vain. They love to take the Lord's name in vain, and you know, it's a hateful thing. Your very creator, your very maker, the very royalty of this whole earth, the very one that made it, the very one that lets you breathe. We'll turn in our Bibles here to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 1. We'll try and read verses 1, and we'll read verses 1. Maybe I'll read right down to verses 8. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners have spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things. That's speaking again of his royalty, of his majesty. He has appointed him heir of all things. He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. There's no one above him. There's no one can stand in his place. People today want to take a man. They want to try and say that this man is the same standing, but I can tell you now he's not. Don't care what his name is. I don't care what he has done or where he's been. No man can stand in the shoes of Jesus. No man can stand in the place of Christ. There's no man can save you. You know, it'll not matter if you say you are a Catholic, it'll not matter how many Hail Marys or how many times you count rosary beads. If you never have an experience with Jesus Christ, you're lost and undone. But if you accept Jesus Christ and throw your rosary beads over the hedge, like your man said, he got out one day, down relic slid under his brake paddle and near got him killed. And he took the relic and he fired it out over the hedge. The best thing he ever done. Don't have relics. Don't have decoys. Pick the real thing. Like John says, it is not Coca-Cola. It's Jesus Christ is the real thing. Amen. There's nothing else outside of him. It says, he hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he hath made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the expressed image of his person. If you want to see God, look at Jesus. There's only one person in the Godhead, and this is him, Jesus Christ. It doesn't say persons, he said person. He says, being the expressed image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself, didn't need no help, when he had by himself purged our sins, he sat down at the right hand of majesty on high. Amen. You know where the saying comes from? You're the right hand man. It speaks of power and authority. If somebody's the right hand man, it means he's the same authority as that person there. He has got all the authority, and Jesus Christ sat down at the right hand of the majesty above. He sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. He's greater than angels. He's greater than Mary. People are brainwashed that they have to pray through Mary. But you can't go to God through Mary. You can't go to God through an organization. I don't care why your organization claims to be Protestant or Roman Catholic or whatever it may be. There's only one access to God, and that's through the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You can't go to God through your organization. A lot of times your organization will hinder you. You say, no, but they preach the gospel and they do this and they do that. And maybe there's people who lives a great life. They do everything right. And there's other people that claim that they don't want, they have nothing to do with an organization, but they'll organize around a messenger. We don't praise a messenger. I certainly don't praise the postman when he comes. He usually brings bills. But you know, when the messenger comes, you don't praise the messenger. But when you read the message, it'll point you to the one that the messenger was talking about. And you exalt the one that he was pointing you to, not the messenger himself. Because there's no one deserves praise other than him, for it says, being so much better than the angels. You know, people maybe want to worship angels. People also want to seek to the dead. There's people who go down to the grave and they pray to the dead. They pray to the dead and they seek the dead. But you know, we don't seek the dead. Because you know what happened? What I love. When they went that day to that tomb and the stone was rolled away and the angel met them and said, "Why seek ye the living among the dead?"
Amen.
Why seek ye the living among the dead? He's not here, but he is risen. And when they looked through the doors, the napkin was sitting there to speak to the Jewish people. He was letting them know, "I'm coming back to the table." When you're sitting at that cedar meal and you want to get up and you want to leave the table, you set your napkin on the table because you're going to tell them, "Don't lift my dinner. I'm coming back till it." And you know, he left that napkin so that we would know. Maybe it means nothing to us. But you know, if you sat at one of them meals, you would understand them things. And he left them signs. But you know, he left signs, but it says it would be hid from the eyes of the wise and the prudent. And it would be revealed on the babes and sucklings. You have to come to God and approach him with childlike faith. If you come to God, oh high and mighty, you'll not receive it. Because you know too much before you start. If somebody knows everything, you can't teach them nothing. Right. You know, if you get an apprentice, if you get a man and he comes to start a day's work and he knows everything. Maybe he's read a lot of books. You know, like my dad one time, he talked about the muzzle-loading shotguns. And he said he read a load of books. And he thought he knew everything about loading muzzle-loaders. He said he was convinced he knew all about how to do it. On the first day he went out, he tried to shoot and he said he was deflated because he found out he knew nothing about it. But you know what he done? He kept at it. And then he learned by experience. Like the same way you can't bluff your way to God by trying to be a good boy or a good girl. It'll all work. Look, if you've got the Spirit of God in you, you'll naturally want to be good. It'll do something for you because he says, "Be not conformed, but be ye transformed." So when this power and majesty and greatness of this name comes upon you, it'll transform you. It'll help you to be good. You'll not want to do bad. Why would you want to do evil? But you know what? Just because you try and do good, that's not going to work. All our righteousness is as filthy rags in his sight. But Jesus Christ has done it all for us. He said then in verses 5, "For unto which of the angels said he at any time, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And again I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son." And we know that in the Never Intended Version, the NIV version of the Bible, they took out the only begotten out of it. God's one and only son, they say. But he is the begotten. Because he's greater than a one and only son. He's not just a one and only son, because me and you are sons and daughters. We have been adopted into his family. When we accept Jesus Christ, we have been adopted. But I want you to know, even though we are adopted, Jesus is still far above all that. He's still far above all, it says, "For the Spirit was upon him without measure." You receive the Spirit by measure. Because we're still only humans. We're still born of sin. We were still born in sin and shaping in iniquity. Yes, God has delivered us and set us free. But while we live in this pest house, we're not totally made perfect. It says we are groaning. It says the whole earth is groaning to travail for that day. To perfection. It says, and again, verses 6, "And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, And let all the angels of God," what? "Worship him." Don't worship man. Don't worship an organization. Don't worship a system. Don't exalt any man. But exalt Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the man above all men. And of the angels he saith, "Who maketh his angels spirits, and a ministering a flame of fire." But unto the Son he saith, "Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom forever and ever." But unto the Son he saith, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is this, the scepter of thy kingdom. Amen. Forever and ever. His kingdom doesn't lose power. You know, if you listen long enough to a decoy telling you, God doesn't do this anymore, God doesn't do that anymore, you can't do this and it doesn't do that and something else, you could actually be convinced. If you want to be convinced, if you want to listen that God doesn't, that's okay. You could end up like that woman that went to the man's meetings and every time she tore a page out of her Bible. She kept tearing pages out because God doesn't heal anymore. God doesn't allow people to speak in tongues anymore. God doesn't anoint anybody anymore. God doesn't. And at the end of it all, I'd say there wasn't much of it left. And when your boy was leaving, she says, I've a present for you. He says, what is it? She says, I've a Bible here for you. She gave him the Bible and he looked at it. Maybe it was 2 or 3 pages left in her. Because if you kick out God doesn't, what have you got? There's nothing that God cannot do. The wee song says, my God is so big, so strong and so mighty. There's nothing that he cannot do for you. Amen. You know, he looked at that book and he wondered what on earth was going on. A Bible. He maybe thought he'd got one of them wee psalms, the wee small parts. And she says, no, I've been sitting under your ministry for years. And she says, every time you said that it wasn't for today, what's the point in having it? So she took it out. She says, I've been taking out pages every time I listen to you. So I thought it'd be a fitting present for you. He could preach out of that. God can't do Bible. But you know, thank God tonight we've got a complete Bible and God. It's a God can do Bible.
Amen.
It's a God can do and God will do Bible. When we come in his name, he says, ask anything in my name. Don't come in anybody else's name. If you come the right road and ask in his name, he'll back it up. Because his name's got the authority.
Amen.
We'll turn back in our Bibles here to Ephesians. I did say I have plenty of scriptures. And I'm not apologizing for every time you read God's word, it's a blessing.
Amen.
You know, I could take one or two scriptures and I could labor all night and you could fall asleep maybe. Because you get sick of my mabbing and over and over the same thing. But I'll read a few scriptures and I hope that God blesses you. Not for me. But if you read these scriptures, no matter about me speaking, there's a blessing on them. Every time you open God's word and read a bit of it, any bit of it at all, there's something comes off it onto you. Do you know if you go into a pig pen, there's a stink will come on you of pigs. If you work in somewhere, you'll have a smell on you. If you feed on something, if you eat enough garlic, you'll smell like garlic. It'll come right out through you. You'll know all about it. Do you good. Smell like a bodger. But you know, if you feast on God's word, there'll be an aroma on you as well. There'll be something come out of you. Do you know what it'll do? Do you see when you meet the skeptic and he says, can't do, or, oh boy, God will speak a wee scripture into your head because you'll have read it.
Amen.
And you'll be able to say, but the word of God says this. Amen. And he'll maybe say to you, but our organization says this. But you'll say, I don't care what your organization says. This is what the word of God says. And I will go with what the word of God says. I don't care, your man's a good man. Everybody, oh, he's a good wee man. This is a good wee man. And that sounds really like a smart aleck. I'm not trying to be a smart aleck about it. I'm just saying you can't depend on a man, no matter how good he is. Doesn't matter what the man is or what he isn't. Yes, every God is man in certain positions. Maybe all the men couldn't do that job. And yes, God will bring people out of absolutely every organization, I believe. There'll be an elected seat everywhere. We don't know where they're at. You know, there's too many people going out and they're trying to pick out who's who and what's what. But you know, like, Jesus said when they'd come to the time of the harvest, if you went out into the middle of the field of corn and tried to pick out all the decoy stuff, you could end up plucking out a lot of good stuff. Do you know there's a plant that grows in the corn and it looks like corn. I can't remember the name of it. It's maybe called black corn or something. There's some name for it. But it grows, and if you stood back and looked at a field, you'd think that's a great field of wheat or a great field of corn or barley or whatever it may be. But this boy is an imitator. And he grows in the field. And you know, if you went into the field and start trying to get him all out of the field, you could disturb a lot of the good stuff. So you just leave it alone. You just let it grow. Because when it's all harvested and goes through the mill, when it is all harvested and goes through the combine and goes through the mill and goes through the shakers and the blowers and everything, do you know what will come out at the end of it all? It'll only be good seed. All the chaff and all the dirt will be blew away anyway. So it's not our job to go out and to try and cut out this and cut out that and cut out something else. It's our job to witness and proclaim the word of God. And whatever happens, happens after that, because it's not up to me or you. Jesus Christ in control. If you get it in your head, it's all down to me. It's not all down to me or you. It's down to what he's already done. But we don't just know some people think that, oh, well, then that'll do. We'll put the feet up. But like John says, it's a time for awakening. It's not time for throwing the feet up and saying, well, I can't do nothing. It's our job to be lights. You know, if you take a wee light, it doesn't matter how big it is, and walk into a dark room, that wee tiny bit of light. If you light a wee small candle and go into a room, that wee bit of light will overcome the darkness. Amen. Light is stronger than darkness. Amen. Every time, all you need is a wee tiny bit of it, and it'll overcome the darkness. Like Jesus said, if you have faith like a grain of mustard seed, and it is tiny, tiny wee bit of faith will do anything. You know, he also, on down here, he says here, Ephesians chapter 19. I'll read verses 19 and maybe read down to verses 22. And it says, and on what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the workings of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principalities and powers. Do you hear that, devil? When the devil's giving you a hard time, tell him that. Jesus is far above all. We sing the song, far above all, far above all. God has exalted him. Far above all. Far above all principalities, powers, might, and dominion. And every name, amen, every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in the world which is to come, and has put him, and has put all things under his feet, and given him to be the head over all things to the church. Jesus Christ is the head of all. He is royal. He is majesty. His name is wonderful. His name is great. His name is above every name. I'm not going to take much longer because I don't want to take all night. I want you to go away blessed, not distressed and upset, but blessed. You know, you could go away upset and stressed and annoyed because your mom took too long. And he went on and on. We're sick listening to him. But you know, I want you to go away blessed and happy and glad with the joy of the Lord upon you. Also in Philippians chapter 2, I'll not turn to it, it says, and it also that God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow the Pope. Amen. He'll have to come in there and he'll stand there. And he'll have to bow down. He'll not be Mr. High and Mighty saying, you don't need to go to Jesus. You don't need to go to God. Come to me. He'll get his wings clipped, as the saying goes. He'll have to come in and bow down and realize that he has damned his own soul by proclaiming to be God, because he is Antichrist when he claims to be God. And any man that exalts a man makes that an Antichrist system. Right. If you exalt a man, you become Antichrist. If you put the man above God, then that's Antichrist. But you know, we don't want to exalt anyone above Jesus Christ, because no one can stand in his shoes. No one can take his place. Doesn't matter how good he was or what he done. No one can take his place. Psalms 113. I'm going to read a couple of portions of scriptures and then I'm going to come to a close. Psalms 113 and verses 1 down to verses 6. Praise ye the Lord. Praise, O ye servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. From the rising of the sun, amen, unto the going down of the same. The Lord's name is to be praised. The Lord is high above all nations, and his glory above the heavens. Who is like unto the Lord our God, who dwelleth on high? Amen. When you get up in the morning, thank the Lord.
Amen.
The Lord's name is to be praised. From the rising of the sun until the going down. When you're going to bed at night, thank the Lord. Oh, I've had a bad day. Well, thank the Lord anyway. Thank the Lord. And say tomorrow, Lord, let me have a good day. On the next day, let me have a good day. Don't accept a bad day. Don't say, oh, tomorrow, oh, boy, I'm awful down. Don't. Whatever you speak out of your mouth goes out. And it says that the enemy goes about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He's looking for an opening. But you know, isn't it wonderful that them Roman soldiers took and they plotted a crown of thorns and put it on Jesus' head. And if you were out in the wilderness and you wanted to protect yourself from lions, what does them Maasai boys and all do? They cut down thorns and they gather them up and they put them in a big circle and you get inside them thorns. And what else do? You light a fire. You light a fire. When you hide behind the thorns and you've got fire, the enemy's afraid of it. He can't cross over it. When the enemy come up, the Lord, he says, when the sons of God come up before the Lord, and the Lord says, have you considered my servant Job? And the devil says, but you've put a hedge about that fella. Because the enemy goes about like a roaring lion, but when Jesus Christ puts up a hedge of thorns, and they put a crown of thorns on his head, if we run into that safety net, we run into that place of safety. The enemy cannot cross them thorns. He cannot cross that divide. From the rising of the sun unto the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. I wrote down here Colossians chapter 3 and verse 17. And it says, whatsoever ye do, in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father, by what? By him. It's the only way you can do it. You can't exalt God. You can't worship God. You can't praise God. You can't come to God outside of Christ. Stand our feet tonight and we'll close in a word of prayer. I'll close. Merciful God, we thank you tonight, Lord, that your name is as ointment poured forth. Lord, every time we think of the greatness of your name, does something for us, Lord. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that there's power and authority in that name. Lord, I pray that you'll bless each and every one gathered here tonight, Lord. Bless everyone that's upon our hearts and upon our minds at this time, Lord, in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray that you'll comfort each one, Lord. Lord, I ask, Lord, that we'll go away, Lord, remembering something, Lord, from your word, not of anything that I have said, Lord, but let all your words, Lord, let them be in our thoughts and in our minds, and let us meditate upon them, Lord, in Jesus' name. Help us, Lord, to be like the psalmist David said, to praise your name from the rising of the sun until the going down of the same. Lord, we give you thanks tonight, Lord. Bless the remainder of this service. Help us, Lord God, to sing praises unto you and to glorify your holy name. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Isn't the Lord good?
Yeah. Praise God. I'm going to get our brother Gary to come. And then when our brother Gary's singing, if anyone wants prayer tonight, I want you to come forward and ask Samuel and the elders to pray for anyone that wants prayer tonight. So often when we're not well, things are wrong with us, we stay at home or don't do anything about it. But the Bible tells us what we are to do. We're to ask for prayer. We're to lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. We're to call the elders of the church and let them anoint with oil. And if they've sinned, if the person's sick because of sin, God will still heal them. Because that's what the Bible claims and says. And we believe the word of God. And I know there's lots of places don't practice any of these things, but that doesn't make a difference to us. We want to practice what we believe. Amen. So I want our brother to come and just whatever the Lord leads him to sing and praise the Lord tonight. And if you need prayer, and I want Samuel to pray for me to start with. And any others that want prayer. And I'm feeling brave and good, but I'm going to be feeling better after he prays for me. But God is good. Isn't the Lord good? And any wee ailments, maybe wee secret things that only you and the doctor knows. Maybe you're on a wee treatment. And you don't want to tell nobody about it. And you don't have to tell anybody. But the Lord already knows about it. But the Lord can heal you from it. And you mightn't need the wee treatment no more. And as you get older and you talk to people, and they'll say, but what age are you? That'll start about that age. You'll have that problem. And that's the way they talk to you. I went to hear a man one time, and all his family lost their teeth. He preached in the Mission Hall, brother, in Belfast. He was a colored brother from Africa. And he preached in the Mission Hall, Belfast, and all his whole family lost their teeth. They had a genetic disorder. And this is true, this wasn't a story. They did all lost their teeth. And they lost all their teeth young. But he didn't want to lose his. And the doctor told him he had the same condition. And he said, but I found another doctor. And he's given me a different report than you. And he's called Jesus. And the Lord healed him. And he's a man my age, and he showed everybody his white teeth. And he had a great set of teeth. And he had teeth as an old man. He hadn't lost any of them. And God can do it. You mightn't want teeth tonight. You might want something else. But with someone that you can't see, God's able to do it. If God can let a man have his teeth in his old age, all his teeth, he never lost any. Think of what the Lord could do for you tonight. Praise God. And people say these colds and flus are going around. There's nothing you can do about it. When it comes your way, you'll just have to get on with it. Well, what about sending it back to where it come from? What about that? What about saying, how did you get in here? Whatever way you got in, go back out the same way you come in. Pack the parcel for them and give it back to them. Amen. So the Lord bless you tonight. I want you to encourage, want your faith. Samuel's preached a good message on faith tonight. And let's believe God. And let's practice what we believe. Let's believe it tonight. Praise God. I'm going to tell you, I know our brother's a sore shoulder, but I'm going to tell you about a sore shoulder, brother. I really racked my shoulder, and I racked my shoulder acting the agent, as we would say. And my shoulder was badly racked, and I couldn't do nothing with it. An empty bar like that, and I could just barely do it. Barely could lift an empty bar like that. My shoulder was that bad. But I could pray for it on my right shoulder. And I went in one night and I had 140 kilos on a bar. And I'm not boasting about this, I'm just telling you what's fact. Sitting on a chair with 140 kilos. And I went up and down with it like that and hooked it back into the things. And the man said to me, what are you ticking by? And I said, I'm ticking Jesus. That's what I'm ticking. You want to try him? I'll tell you, he's real. The Lord's real. The Lord's healed me many times. You know, when I went to Africa and my leg was black, the doctor said to me, you'll not be lifting anything ever again, but I'm still able to do it. Because the Lord touched my jaw and the brothers prayed for me. And the muscle was still on the skin, the muscles were torn. But I don't know what God done, but he fixed it anyhow. And God was able to do it. The Lord's a healer. Let's believe him for healing tonight, and he can heal you from anything. God bless you. Go ahead.
Um,
I'll sing a little chorus, blessed be the name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, just as Samuel was saying that last verse, he quoted, from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same. I can't remember where I heard it, but I think there's a chorus. Says that. Is there a chorus? Did we sing that in Tommy Moore? From the rising of the sun. But how does it go after that? Does anybody want to sing it for us? I knew I heard it somewhere. From the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised, but I don't know any more of it. I'm not even sure of the tune of it, but I can remember there was a chorus. But anyway, in the meantime, if somebody gets the courage to come and sing it, sing it next week, I'll be here. And if you let me know how it goes, I can maybe sing it. Blessed be the name. We'll sing this then. Brother Samuel will come to the front, and anybody wants to prepare, make your way up to the front. Blessed be the name.